And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
We're so back.
We are so back.
That's right. I feel like it's been forever.
March 1st.
Yes, sir.
You know what that means?
Oh, we're getting closer.
It's that time of year, maybe the best time of year.
Let's go.
I always say I think March is just as good as Christmas for me because you get so much basketball. This is Christmas
for basketball fans.
I know, and then in April you get NBA playoffs. March you get March Madness, March basketball.
Yep.
This is the best time of year to be a basketball fan. We're here for it.
It's so hype. We're even getting kind of closer to the playoffs for NBA.
Yeah.
And season's coming to kind of a close. We're figuring out who's who and... Man, good time to be alive. Well, we have an exciting episode today, of course, as usual. We'll talk about our four past week games we've had. Andrew's going to give us our player of the week, and then we have four more games coming up this week. We'll give our predictions. And then we'll talk about Tankathon. We'll talk about how strong is the Jazz schedule moving forward. And then we're going to give you our contenders or pretenders for the playoffs this year in the NBA. We'll talk about some NBA highlights, some injuries, and then we're going to give you our draft spotlight for a player that you might want to pay attention to. And then, of course, we'll close out with local sports.
Make sure to follow us on all the platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Apple. You can find us anywhere. And make sure to leave us a good rating. Share with a friend. We're trying to grow the community and get everybody excited about the Jazz.
And this is episode 64 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, the Jazz surprised us this
yes,
week.
Yes, they did.
I know yes, there's not did. A lot of weeks where we get multiple wins.
Yeah.
This is a big week for wins.
Yeah, it made no sense the games we won either. We were like,
I know, like what the heck?
We're talking about like teams that are maybe contenders. I guess we'll find out later when we talk about that.
Yeah.
But kind of an interesting week, up and down a little.
Yeah, I'll definitely say I think you can easily see by my predictions, I was very far off from last week. I thought we were gonna lose big to the Rockets in Minnesota. Those were our two wins. And I thought we were going to win big in Portland. Not quite. We almost beat them.
Yeah.
Lost by two. Rough. And then the Kings, I thought we were going to just barely lose, but end up being kind of a blowout. So kind of all across the board, not really what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think I gained a couple on you on the tracker, but I'm not sure how. I feel like I was pretty off too, so...
Yeah,
I guess it just I was pretty conservative though. I'm in the lead, so I'm trying to protect my lead. So I'm not making any crazy predictions here, I guess.
Right.
But let's start with Houston game. That was our first game of the week on last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz win 124-115. What were your thoughts from this game?
Well, I mean, I thought we were gonna get smoked because the Rockets have looked pretty good this year.
Yeah.
I will say that I think there was a couple guys that were out for them.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have Fred VanVleet. I think he's kind of injured right now. But they had most of their players. So it's pretty surprising that the Jazz pulled away on this one.
Yeah.
Shout out to Keontae George.
He hooped.
The rest of the week, he didn't shoot as efficiently as the Houston game.
Yeah.
But in this Houston game, you got to give him credit. He shot 58% from the field, 62% from three, 30 points off the bench. 6 assists, 8 rebounds. This is the best Keontae game we've had all year, arguably. Because I think he has had 30 a couple times.
Yeah.
Great stuff from him. Do you think he should just keep coming off the bench? Like, maybe that's a good spot for him as of right now.
I think so. I mean, in the offseason, I wouldn't mind us, like, seeing if we can figure something out for him to play the two. I mean, that's what we've been hearing is that's what he wants to play. He didn't play point guard in college. Or at any other level, so.
He's 6'4", so he got the height for it, I think.
Got good size.
He's got enough.
Athletic enough. Yeah, this game was really good for him. I kind of think, I got the notification at halftime that said he had like 20 points at halftime or something.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, dang, is this guy about to hit 40? But he slowed down a little bit in the second half, but still just a great game. I really loved Lowry, 23-10. We haven't seen that consistently from him this year, but we love to see it when we do.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good game.
Yeah, and then Walker Kessler, 17 rebounds. It's just another average game for him.
Yeah.
If you look at this week, I don't think he played every game this week. But out of the three that he did, 17, 14, and 13 rebounds in those games. So still him.
Awesome.
And then weirdly, well, maybe not weirdly, KJ Martin started this game. And I think he started all the games this week. He might have.
Yeah.
At least, I think, three.
I think he's looking really good on our team. He looks like he fits.
He's definitely like the type of guy that you want on your side defensively, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Because
he'll like put in effort and... You could argue that maybe since he's gotten traded to the Jazz, we've won a lot more games. So
that's true.
Just saying, I don't. It's definitely not all him, but
it's the X factor.
It's got to be part of it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, he had a couple pretty good games this week.
Yeah, he's looking really nice. And then on Monday, we stayed at home. All these games were at home. We stayed at home. We lost to Portland. Nail biter. Lost by two. 114-112. I think Bryce Sensabaugh was the most impressive to me. 21 points. But just really efficient, like 7 for 12, 4 for 5 from 3.
Kyle Filipowski, 4 for 4 from 3.
Yeah, some really efficient guys, some not so efficient guys. Keontae had 21, but on 6 for 22 shooting.
Yeah,
so
he went back to earth.
Yeah, he looked like rookie Keontae a little bit. But anyways, we'll take a good Bryce Sensabaugh, Kyle Filipowski, efficient game, even though it's a loss, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean... We had a lot of guys out. No Markkanen in this game. No John Collins.
Yep.
No Jordan Clarkson. No Colin Sexton, I don't think, played at all this week because of his injury. Hope he gets back soon.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I mean, losing by two to the Trailblazers when it's basically our bench as starters. I don't even think... Maybe Isaiah Collier, you'd say, is a starter now.
Yeah.
But the rest of those guys aren't really starters normally, so... I'd consider that like almost a win, and I'm sure the front office is okay that we lost.
Absolutely.
If we got three wins in a week, they might start benching everybody the rest of the season. We don't want that yet.
Trade Will Hardy or something.
Yeah. But I also just want to give a shout out to Cody Williams. This game, he actually didn't do too bad. He had 8 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. Plus 20 plus minus from Cody too.
Yeah.
One of the few games where I'm like, okay, he did pretty good.
Yeah.
And it seems like maybe his role is not to be a guy that takes a lot of shots, even though maybe we thought at the beginning of the season, our 10th pick should be getting a lot more shots.
Yeah.
But he might be a guy that maybe he takes like 5 to 10, at most 10 shots a game. And he like just gets a whole bunch of rebounds and, lives in the offense and plays hard on defense.
Yeah.
It's hard reality because I was hoping for more from him.
It's tough.
That might just be the guy that he is.
Yeah.
At least right now.
I kind of think we were like talking about the same thing with, why am I blanking?
Taylor Hendricks,
sorry. Yeah, I mean, I guess he didn't play bad for the Jazz. He just didn't play. And it was kind of like, what the heck? It's a top 10 pick. Why is he not playing?
Yeah.
And, but I think this year he was coming in looking like he was ready to take a huge leap, I think.
He played pretty well when he was out there, too.
Yeah, and even in preseason games, like, it's unfortunate, obviously, what happened, and hopefully he comes back. But hopefully next year we see a similar type of leap, even if it's not that big of a leap. Just a little bit of looking more comfortable playing NBA basketball with Cody Williams. Hopefully an off-season of NBA workouts and things will help him develop some more confidence.
Yeah, but he had a decent game.
Yeah.
So we've been pointing out how he's had some bad games.
Yeah.
So I think we got to definitely point out when he's having some good games too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Then we went on to play the Kings. This was a tough game too.
Absolutely.
I mean, Sabonis, Zach LaVine, Malik Monk. This team looks so weird playing this team without De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
But I guess we got to see Zach LaVine the first time in a Kings jersey.
Yeah. I think the standout from this game was Walker Kessler. I'd argue this might be the best game of the season for him, in my opinion. 26 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. And that was against probably one of his tougher matchups in the NBA. Sabonis is not an easy guy to play against. He looked like a star that night.
ESPN did a stat about this game, or some article. I'm sure I just say ESPN because they always find the weird stats.
Yeah,
but apparently the only players to have 25, 14, and 5 assists and shoot 100% because Kessler went 10 for 10.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Is Kessler and Jokic, and that's it.
That's wild, dude. So that's
there's your ESPN wild. Stat. I'm sure you'll remember that forever.
That's a good kind of stat. You got to love when it ESPN's like, he's the oldest player to score 22 points on a Tuesday in March. You're like, okay, well, that's the great.
Thanks. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, that's, I feel like that's not that out of pocket, but
it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. Kessler's probably had one of the best games he's that's ever had. Awesome. Like, I don't think he'll get 25 again very soon. But
that's good company to be in. It makes me wonder, do you think that the Jazz should try to get Walker Kessler more involved in our offense, like in the future, or do you think that that's just not his role in general?
I think if like Isaiah stays this good at dishing the ball out, maybe we could have some sort of like offense at some points in the game where it's like Isaiah and Kessler two-man game.
Yeah.
And I think Kessler's a great roller.
Absolutely.
And rebounder, right? So I think he should get most of his points just from offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a good idea to try and do a, like, you remember when Joe Ingles did that with Gobert?
Yeah.
And that was our offense.
Even him in Favors. Every game. Yeah.
Him in Favors, too.
Yeah.
Like, that got us a lot of consistent points. So maybe we could get some retro stuff like Joe Ingles did with Collier and Kessler.
That puts a lot of pressure on defenses, too. And you got, like, a lob threat down there.
Yeah.
And you got a guy who can get the ball there. Because then you can also, if they collapse, you can hit the corners.
Hit the corner, exactly.
Or if they guard the corners and collapse on the big, then you just finish at the rim. It just opens up so many, like, pathways to score, honestly, so.
Yeah, so I'd like to see Kessler kind of grow into that. I know he does well at that already, but I think now that we have Isaiah, even more of a chance to do that.
Yeah, he could game plan for it,
Yeah.
KJ Martin, I also, we just talked about him, but he had 16, 5, and 4. That's a pretty good
game. His best game of the week.
I think so, yeah. So really good. Really good win, in my opinion.
Or loss.
Loss, sorry.
Now we went on to a win against the
Timberwolves.
I mean,
it's really a win if you think about it, but it's a loss.
You're thinking about it backwards.
For the tank, it's a win.
It's totally a win for the tank. But we won by 1 point against the Timberwolves.
Yes, we did.
To be fair, Anthony Edwards did not play. He was suspended this game. So we didn't play him at full health.
Yeah.
But we did play our boy, and Gobert was injured, so both of those guys are out.
Yeah.
We did play our boy Mike Conley. Sadly, Joe Ingles did not get any minutes in this game like he did last time. I'm sure the fans were upset about that. But a thriller game came down to the very end.
Yep.
Walker Kessler, I think, played really well, right? He had the last, I think he hit the game winner with 9 seconds left. So, dude, Walker Kessler's probably just like, he's walking around town just like he knows he's him. Because this week was baller for him.
Yeah, and that's the other thing with Kessler too, is like, he only took 7 shots. He only had 9 points, but like, he just doesn't need a lot of shots to get points. Yeah. And
he had the best plus minus on the team this game, plus 23.
Yeah, I think John Collins had 29 and 12. I think he had a really good game.
Absolutely amazing game.
Both those guys just kind of tore him up. I think we kind of took advantage here too, because if you look at who Minnesota had available, Naz Reid was pretty much their only big man. Looks like Luka Garza played a little. But we just kind of took advantage. We recognized we had a mismatch there with Collins and Kessler. And even Kyle Filipowski had a decent game. But we just attacked their weakness, which is good coaching from Coach Hardy.
Yep. So, good game all around. I think Bryce Sensabaugh he had a pretty good game, too.
Absolutely.
He had 17 points off the bench, so.
Absolutely.
Solid game, and I love when it comes down the wire. And Colin Sexton finally came back, so.
Yeah,
absolutely. Nothing too crazy from him, but good to see him playing again.
That.
But that leads us to our player of the week.
Yes, sir.
And I think I couldn't really go anywhere else with this one.
Easy one.
So easy pick. We're going to give it to Walker Kessler.
Yeah, let's go.
Just what a great week for Walker Kessler. He has that stat line where it's just him and Jokic. He gets a ton of rebounds again, like he does every game, basically.
Yep.
He got a game winner against Minnesota. That could be up on our on our top highlights when we get to the end of the year.
Yep.
Just all around great week from him. I think you just have to give it to him.
Absolutely.
And just looking back, that would give him, let's see, 1, 2, 3. This is his 4th player of the week.
Okay. Is that above John Collins or is it?
Tied with John Collins. All right, okay. So they're now both tied for number one. We'll see.
And our big men are carrying
next couple
us
weeks.
This year.
One of those guys might take the lead or
yeah.
They're both. You could argue John Collins and Walker Kessler, they've been our best players this year.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Laurie, but
yeah.
It's just been not as good of a year for Laurie.
Not at all. Yeah, I totally agree.
Would you say that Walker Kessler has been our best player this year?
I would say so. I mean,
even above John?
I mean, maybe not our best player, but our most important player. Like, I think...
most impactful player?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Just really solid defensively, like he always has been. And then he's just kind of taken a leap where he's like... last year, it kind of felt at times like he was kind of a liability at times on the floor. But this year, yeah. It feels like whenever he's on the floor, like, things work, you know? And mm-hmm. So
it's like when he's off the floor, it's
yeah.
harder. Right, he's not there to hustle and get all the rebounds.
And kudos for those two guys for learning how to work together. They play together really well this year.
Yeah.
Last year it seemed like it was like, dang, this just doesn't work. But it works this year. So even though we only have 14 wins.
Yeah. Don't ask me why it started working. It's just, I mean, part of it's like we're using John Collins better. But yeah, no, they just look great together.
Absolutely. We have 4 games coming up this week. Some might argue this might be one of our most important weeks of the season. We'll get to Tank Thon in a minute, but 3 of the top 5 teams that the Jazz are currently battling with are on our schedule this coming week. So an important week, I guess. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, tomorrow, as of the day we're recording this, we play the Pelicans here at home. What do you think? What are you feeling about this game?
I'm going to say this week was really hard to predict.
Yeah, it was.
Because we're playing some bad teams,
but we
also want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we still see some good basketball, but it might be kind of tough because multiple of the teams we're playing are definitely also trying to tank.
Yeah.
Including the Pelicans tomorrow. So, but I'm going to say I think our tank is too hard. I'm going to say we lose to the Pelicans by 4.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I agree. I said lose by 6. Pelicans are 4-6 in their last 10.
That's pretty
solid. I've seen Zion's been coming back. Seems like a little more sporadically than he was before. So yeah, I think, I don't know. I agree with you. It's tough to predict these ones, but I think we could lose this one. Pelicans are good enough that they could catch us.
So. Yeah, it looks like Herb Jones and DeJounte Murray are injured.
Yeah.
And then Zion and CJ McCollum are game time decisions. So I think the game time decision is if they want to tank or not.
That's true.
If Zion plays, they definitely have a much better chance. We'll see. Lauri Markkanen and Jordan Clarkson are also game time decisions.
Okay. So. Well, I guess they'll probably... it's just like a game of cards. Like,
yeah.
If you're going to play your guys, we'll play our guys. Or like,
maybe that's what it's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
So, and then we come... or the Pistons come to town.
Yes, sir.
Who actually, I don't know if you've noticed, the Pistons are on a hot streak right now.
Yeah.
Just 1 year ago, we were joking about the Pistons like almost every episode.
Yeah.
But now we can't. They're doing really good.
Good for them.
They beat the Celtics, so.
Yeah, we were, at one point last year, we were like, could this be the worst team ever? Because like, I think did they break the record? I can't remember.
They were getting close. Did, right?
Yeah, I can't remember. They were getting close, though. It was a whole week where we were like, dang.
They were they were one of the worst teams of all time.
But now they're looking like maybe a playoff team.
Cade's looking like one of the best point guards.
All-star this year, so good for them. I say Jazz lose by 12. They're rolling.
Ooh, that's a big margin.
We can lose this game. And I don't know, they just have a lot of talent, so I'm saying lose by 12.
Malik Beasley's return to the Delta Center.
Fontecchio.
I'm gonna say Pistons win by 5.
Ooh, okay.
So Jazz lose.
Does lose. Fair. Good prediction. And then we finally hit the road. I think it's like 8 home games in a row or something up to this game on Wednesday against Washington. Wizards are currently, I believe, in our tankathon. They're first. So they're the top dog in the tank right now.
This is the start of a 5-game road trip.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
What are you feeling? Washington, you think? Too tough of a defeat.
I think we can beat Washington.
Yeah.
Because, man, they're bad. Yeah, so I'm going to say Jazz win by 7.
Ooh, okay. This one's just a gut one for me. They're bad. They really are. I'm going to say Jazz lose by 4. I don't know. Something in my gut's just telling me that.
Their fans need a win at some point.
I don't know. I could see Chris Middleton just having a randomly good game. That's like Chris Middleton's game. I feel like he just randomly... I feel like Chris Middleton either looks like prime Kobe Bryant or he's like more of a current Cody Williams. Like there's not really not a lot of in between there. So
that's pretty bad. Yeah. ESPN has a 63% chance of us winning.
For the Jazz? Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay. Fair. And then Friday, we close out our week, at least, against the Raptors in Toronto. What are you feeling against the Raptors? I think they're 5th right now in tank, huh?
Yeah, we need to lose this game.
Yeah, we do.
I think the Jazz are going to try to, so I say Raptors win by 6.
Yeah, I actually predicted this to be the Jazz 1 win of the week. I don't know. I was just kind of going with my gut on that one.
Usually
but
1 win, yeah.
Yeah, I could easily see it being a loss, though, but I don't know. They're still trying to... They just made a big trade. The Brandon Ingram trade was pretty big. Team's still trying to figure each other out. I think Toronto right now is still 2-8 in their last 10. I mean, we're 3-7, not much better, but I'll give the Jazz the win. We'll see if we can pull that one off.
Definitely, definitely. And in terms of like the tankathon,
yeah,
we're still right in there.
Yeah,
it's honestly been kind of up and down. Like some of the, like New Orleans has kind of won a couple games recently.
Yeah,
and then I think Washington won a game, but they're still clearly at the bottom. But like just like I was thinking, Charlotte kind of passed us. They're now the second worst team. We're the third worst.
Lost 5 in a row. Charlotte did.
Yeah, they're pretty doing bad. Pretty bad right now.
Yeah, I feel like we're pretty squarely right now in the top 4 odds, at least. Toronto's still like 2.5 games behind us. So if we just keep distance there. But New Orleans is only half a game. And we really need to stay in that top 3 because our odds go from 14 to 12. So,
yeah, no, please stay in the top 3. We need that for sure. Also point out, the 76ers have lost 9 games in a row.
Yeah.
Sneakily, they're at 6 now. They're not that far behind. Like, they're 5 games behind us right now.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy because they literally preseason were a championship contender.
Yeah.
So.
And for anybody who's mad that the Jazz won last night, Minnesota's now in the 14th. They're now in the lottery, so the Jazz have another lottery pick as of this moment.
Oh, that's funny.
Also, as of note, San Antonio they've been falling. Both of their picks have been falling. They're at 9 and 10 now, so that puts them at like 6 or 7. I guess that's 7% odds at the number 1 pick. So they could... that's going to make me sick if they end up with Cooper Flagg. But anyways, that'll interesting thing to watch there.
Yeah, but I guess in terms of strength of schedule, because this will kind of help us forecast what our winning or losing will look like the rest of the season just based off winning percentage. We are completely average strength of schedule remaining. We've got some good teams and some bad teams. We still got to play the Wizards twice, but we also still got to play the Celtics twice. We got Charlotte and Pelicans, but we've also got Thunder and Cavs. So it's like we're not really playing medium teams. We're either going to play a great team or a terrible team for a lot of the games that we have left.
Yeah.
And then just to point out, the easiest strength of schedule is the Toronto Raptors.
Ooh,
so we love that. They're going to play only bad teams.
Yeah.
So hopefully that means they win some games because they've got an easy schedule.
That's good.
And then Washington also has the third easiest schedule in the league.
Ooh.
So hopefully that means Washington's going to win some games too.
Yeah.
But you can dream. I don't think it's going to happen.
Never know,
Because even if they go up against the Nets, like, I don't think they're going to win.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte, they also have like a pretty easy schedule left. They're the 19th hardest, so I guess that'd be like the 10th easiest. Not too bad. And then none of the really bad teams have a hard schedule left. Like if I look at the top 10 hardest schedules, they're all like basically playoff teams except for Portland. And I think Portland's kind of out of our range now with the winning streak they went on. So really that's good news. We have a harder schedule than all the teams below us.
Yeah.
So we can hope that they win a couple more than we do.
Interesting.
Well, we got probably the title of this episode.
Yes, sir.
Contender or pretender.
Ooh.
For teams in the NBA. And I know March Madness is coming. The playoffs are a little bit further away, but this is the perfect time in the season to kind of say like who's actually like a team that we think really has a chance, right? Yeah. You could argue that even like a top seed could still not be a real contender.
Yeah.
Because like there's a lot of teams that have like a really good regular season, but they haven't really shown it in the playoffs. Sometimes people say that about the Jazz. That's okay.
Yeah.
but we got, I guess, 8 teams here.
Yep.
Do we want to start with maybe just East
Conference? Let's do it.
I think that'd be good.
Let's do it.
Maybe a good one to start off with. Let's talk about the Cavs.
Yeah.
Because they're number one in the East right now. And last night, I don't know if you saw this, they came back from down 22 to beat the Celtics.
Yeah, that's a huge win.
So
it's a huge
and
win.
And I live vicariously through Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Because I like to think he's still our guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if the Celtics were to, or the Cavs were to win a championship, maybe that would mean something for us.
Yeah.
Do you think they actually have a shot to win a championship? Because they look really good right now.
Oh, well, I will say Donovan Mitchell is still our guy, but he's still our guy who never got us past the second round. So I'm somebody who doesn't have a lot of faith in Donovan Mitchell's playoff performance. I think that they're a pretender, in my opinion. I think I don't think there'll be a second round exit. I'd just be surprised if they beat the Celtics in a 4-game series. I just don't see it happening.
So you think they wouldn't even get to the NBA Finals?
I don't think so.
Above the Celtics. That's crazy. So. I would say it's a toss-up between the Celtics and them for me. They're definitely my favorites in the East. But I heard a stat. The Cavs are like, I think, one of maybe the best jump shooting team of all time.
Yeah.
In terms of like, making threes and being efficient, that's pretty good to rely on. Like, I don't even think you necessarily have to rely on Donovan Mitchell as much this year as you did last year, because you've got Ty Jerome and like Sam Merrill who come in and they get like a few threes every single game.
That's true.
Evan Mobley, like last season, I think he added like 4 or 5 extra points per game this year. Mm-hmm. So you can rely on Evan Mobley a little bit more to score. And like DeAndre Hunter just got traded there. That should hopefully add a little bit of scoring too.
Yeah.
I think they fleeced the Hawks in that trade.
Yeah.
To be honest, Caris LeVert for DeAndre Hunter. I'll take DeAndre Hunter in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say I think they are a contender just because the shooting is elite.
Yeah.
And I think they could rely on that and have a good shot.
Yeah. I think, just a counterpoint to that, the year that the Jazz finished first in the West, we were historically a good three-point shooting team. But I also think there was some issues with fit with defense, and I think Donovan Mitchell's gotten a little better defensively, maybe a little bit. I think it's still a question, but he's got a lot better defenders around him to cover him up, so.
DeAndre Hunter's a pretty good defender.
Yeah.
Evan Mobley's like in the depoy running.
Yeah. Darius Garland's pretty decent as a perimeter defender. So
he's all right.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think that if anything, the defense is what I'd be concerned about.
I certainly don't think they're a first round exit, but I think that would be an interesting team to watch.
Well, then maybe should we talk about the Celtics then?
Sure. Yeah. I think this one's pretty easy for me. I think it's contender.
I'm going to say contender. Like, if you won the championship last year, you're probably a contender.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, you mentioned, they're kind of your favorite to win the East.
Yeah.
And maybe the championship. I'd say between them and the Cavs, it's kind of a toss-up for me. my bias says lean towards Cavs, but my brain says probably Celtics.
Yeah.
They just, yeah. I mean, even though the Cavs like beat them last night, I think when the playoffs come around, they should be a really good team. They just fit so well together. They've got the defense. They've also got the 3-point shooting. So they're tough for anybody.
Yeah, I agree. I think my only reserve for them, I just think in 2025, it's tough to win back-to-back finals. Like, the NBA is just not like that anymore.
That's true.
So,
and they haven't looked as good this year.
That's true. They have taken a little step back. I think the whole Team USA thing seems to have affected Tatum a little bit. I just don't see him like, well, and Brown, because he got snubbed off the roster completely. So I don't know. I mean, I still think that they could get there and could win it, but that's my only reserve. It's just that it's back to back. So
I would be concerned if I were a Celtics fan. Last season, they were untouchable.
Yeah.
In the regular season, they couldn't lose. They were like 60 plus wins. They're clearly the best team in the league, and they won the championship, and it was it was easy to predict. Absolutely. Everyone put them as contender. This year, it's like everyone's concerned. Like, they're losing to the Pistons. Like, what are they doing? You know. So I don't know. There's some red flags popping up. Like, I might lean a little bit more towards Cavs after last night, and after we'll see the next couple weeks go.
Yeah, and Drew Holiday has not been great. He's been okay, but not great. Porzingis, I don't even.
Never heard of
him. He doesn't even seem like he likes playing basketball. Like, it's just like, I mean, he probably likes it, but like, he just doesn't play like consistent ever.
Peyton Pritchard's been pretty good, but yeah, it's been different for them this year.
True. Well, I know you think Cavs and Celtics are your two. I think Knicks and Celtics are my two, honestly.
Really?
To move to the Knicks. I just like how the Knicks roster's constructed. I think Jalen Brunson's a dog. And, he's just got
Towns has taken a huge leap.
Absolutely. And we saw Towns made a difference in the playoffs last year for Minnesota. I also think they have some guys like OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges make huge difference as a supporting cast. So I think that they're a contender.
Okay.
I'll say. I think they get past the Celtics. I think Celtics are still my favorite. But if they get past the Celtics, I could see them winning it all.
It's fair. I'm going the other way. I have their ceiling as a Eastern Conference Finals appearance.
Ooh, okay.
And that's, I think, as far as they can go.
That's fair.
I totally agree with all the points you made. They're like, they're a juggernaut team. The only concern that I have is their depth.
It's true.
Like, their starting lineup, probably better than any other starting lineup. You've got two Eastern Conference starters, all-star starters. You've got OG and Mikal Bridges, who are amazing. Just like Josh Hart has actually been really good this year. So that starting lineup is untouchable.
Josh Hart, yeah.
But then, like, what is the bench?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I know
point.
You've got Miles McBride. I know you've got, like, some other guys, but, like, they're not even coming to mind. Like, if some of those guys get hurt like they did last year, it's going to be tough for them to, like, play all the way through the playoffs.
That's a good point. Tom Thibodeau's like notoriously not great at like managing injuries. So he'll just play his guys until their legs fall off. Like, he's just that guy. So I think that's a very fair criticism for him. I could see that being a problem for him.
And then I guess our last East team that we're talking about, the Bucks.
Ooh, the Bucks. I think they're a pretender. As much as I love Giannis, I just don't think. I think that this is the last year of the whole Dame Giannis experiment. I don't know. I think Dame will probably go somewhere, but I just don't think it's working.
What about Kyle Kuzma? Do you think he could elevate it?
Maybe.
He's been decent.
Yeah. He doesn't seem like a great fit with Giannis. Like, I don't know. It seems a little clunky, but it could. I don't know. Even if that fit works out and strengthens their team, I don't think it's going to work that quickly. There's only 20 games left.
What's their peak this year then with this team?
I'd say second round, honestly.
Second round exit?
I'd say maybe Eastern Conference final. You're going to have to beat one of those other three teams we just talked about to get to the
Yeah, because it's hard to pick that. It's really hard to pick them over the other three teams.
Yeah,
I'm kind of with you. I think they could. I think their peak could be Eastern Conference Finals. Like if Giannis like basically carries them to one, he would have to carry them.
He's done it before.
But yeah, I don't. I also think they're a pretender, even though you know I'm a partial Bucks fan.
Yeah,
They just don't feel like they have enough firepower to compete with these other teams.
Yeah.
They don't have shooters like the Celtics or Thunder, or Celtics and Cavs. And then the Knicks, like we just mentioned, they have a stacked starting lineup. I don't think the Bucks can stop all of those guys for a whole series. So
yeah, no, definitely not.
The only way that they can do it is if Giannis just goes full Superman mode, Dame as well. And that would have to be what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Brooke Lopez definitely taking a step back this year too.
Right.
They just have so many question marks. I don't know, though. It feels like the last couple of years' playoffs have been really, like, there's been some surprises.
Yeah, like the Pacers made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. If they could make it, sure, the Bucks could.
It wasn't that long ago that the Hawks were in the Eastern Conference Finals, so you never know. You never know. Maybe the Pacers will make it again. Who knows?
Yeah, they're actually not looking bad. We didn't add them to the list, but they're a sleeper. Yeah,
definitely.
Western Conference now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Maybe we just do the same thing. Let's just start at the top.
Let's do it. Thunder.
Thunder.
Yeah, what do you think?
This is too easy. Slam dunk. I'll say they're my champion prediction right now.
Me too, yeah.
I don't think any team can touch them. Like, their defense is like elite. I think they get the most amount of steals a game.
Mm-hmm.
And Shea is probably going to win MVP if things keep going this way.
Absolutely.
Either him or Jokic. They're just so hard to beat. So I would argue they're my champion.
Mm.
I think they're the favorite. They're just so good. It's and when the Jazz have played them, they've been so good as well. So it's kind of also just from watching those games. So
yeah.
What do you think? I'm sure you have them as a contender. If you didn't, I'd be confused.
Yeah, I think they're my favorite too, honestly, to win it all. Their team, I don't think I've ever seen a team as deep as theirs. And Chet's coming back slowly from that, like a pelvic injury, I think.
He's playing.
Yeah, he's
and he's doing all right.
Kind of slowly coming back to it. Early in the season, he looked like, you're like, dang, this guy might be an all-star. He's kind of slowly getting back from that injury, but they just got, they got defenders all over the floor. They got like Lu Dort and even
Alex Caruso.
Yeah, Jalen Williams is looking really, he's an all-star. Hartenstein's playing his role really well, as he did last year for the Knicks.
And Aaron Wiggins has been like really good out of nowhere.
And then you got Cason Wallace. That's a good defender. You just got guys all up and down that lineup that just can hoop.
Yeah.
I'm almost tempted to say like they could sweep their way to the finals, to be honest. I just think they're that good, but
I think they can have their way in the Western Conference, at least.
I think so.
I don't, like in the East, I said maybe Cavs or Celtics. In the West, just Thunder. Like, I don't think any other team I'd put in the hat with them.
Absolutely.
Is this Thunder team better than the Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant Thunder team?
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. Those teams were good.
Because KD was an MVP in 2014. They almost beat the, I don't know how close it was. They almost like gave LeBron and Dwayne Wade.
Yeah,
Chris Bosh six games series. Yeah,
yeah. I think, and then the next year that team was up 3-1 on the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
That was the one without James Harden.
Oh, that's true.
Still, that could have been a better Thunder team than the one with James
Harden. In retrospect, that Thunder roster is like, you're like, dang, they had three MVPs on that team. Like looking back from
right
now,
if they all stayed together,
And Serge Ibaka at that point was probably one of the best rim protectors was it still Kendrick Perkins, I think?
He was on there. He was on there against the Heat, but I don't know if he was there against the Warriors. I think it was Ibaka.
And then they had
Thabo Sefolosha.
Yeah, I think Derek Fisher was closing out his career. So it kind of interesting. Ooh, that's interesting.
I'd still say the Kevin Durant team.
I'd say so too.
Because they went far in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They gave the Warriors some trouble.
I put that
close
caliber of Westbrook on the same tier as what we're seeing from Shea right now. And then KD was just on another level. That was probably, I might argue that was peak KD, honestly.
Yeah, definitely.
As far as what he was doing. So I don't know. That would be an interesting matchup if they played each other.
Yeah, I think this Thunder team's definitely a better defensive team.
Yeah, that's true.
The old one's probably better offense and star power.
Yeah, that's true. Is it Grizzlies or second this, I believe, right?
It keeps flipping, but yeah, it does. It might be Grizzlies.
Yeah, we do them? Let's talk about the Grizzlies. You think Ja's going to stay unsuspended for the playoffs? Just kidding.
I'm going to say pretender on this one.
Yeah, that's fair.
I actually think the Grizzlies could be a second round exit.
I think so too.
Just because they look really good this season, but it doesn't really feel like they're dominant. If that makes sense. Like, you look at their record and most people see it and they're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how come the Grizzlies are that good? So
yeah,
I'm thinking the Grizzlies are second round exit, so pretender.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I keep, like, the other day, literally like 2 weeks ago, somebody mentioned that they were second in the West, and I was like, I thought it was like an NBA centile or something. I was like, what the heck? There's no way. Yeah, I think even though Ja hasn't been suspended, he has been really in and out of the lineup. Jaren Jackson Jr. has been playing really well this year, but I honestly wouldn't be too scared to face them in the playoffs. I think it's kind of a favorable, especially when you look at who is. The West is just so deep right now. I could even see, like, one of these play-in teams who we have right now. Like, Warriors right now are a play-in team.
Yeah.
Mavs, Wolves. I could see either of those three teams, if they're all healthy, taking Memphis to 7 games in the first round. So it'd be interesting. I'm going to say pretender as well.
And then actually, as of last night, the Nuggets are in second place.
Oh, they move around.
Because they just beat the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
So just barely moved last night.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Nuggets.
Let's do it.
They kind of looked bad at the start of the season.
Yeah, they did.
Like, Jamal Murray wasn't really looking like himself. But, man, they've turned it around. They look actually very good now.
Yeah.
Their offense is, like, one of the best in the league, as it usually is with Jokic in there.
Yeah.
I've got them as a contender.
Yeah,
like, it's hard not to say that. Like, if you've got the MVP on your roster, somehow Russell Westbrook has actually been fitting really well, which I'm shocked.
Yeah,
we'll see if that stays true in the playoffs, because I know spacing is important. But I think for them, they're more like, I think they could give the Thunder some trouble and maybe make a finals appearance.
I can see it,
but I don't know if they'd win the championship. So. I don't know. I'd say they're a contender. They're still really good. You got to give respect to Jokic.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I think too. I think they're a contender. I think we forget how good Jokic is. This year he's averaging 29, 12, and 10 on 57% from the field. Like, if there was no such thing as voter fatigue, there would be no debate about MVP. Like,
yeah.
Shea's having a great season, but it's not close. Like, this is getting ridiculous. This guy is so good at what he does.
Yeah, I mean, if you switch them places, I'm sure the Thunder with Jokic would still be this good.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe better, honestly.
Yeah, so I think when you have this level of Jokic on your team, it's hard for me not to call you a contender, honestly. Yeah. He could probably take the Wizards this year to the Western Conference Finals or something. I don't know.
And they're a tough matchup for the Thunder, really.
Yeah, they are.
I think the Thunder have a much better chance now that they have Hartenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, man, who's gonna stop Jokic?
Yeah, not Chet.
Nobody. Yeah, not Chet.
Yeah. Well, that moves us to the Rockets, I believe.
Yeah.
Who've also had a really sneaky good season. A lot of young guys there that are figuring it out.
They lost to the Jazz, though.
Yeah,
so.
They did. I'm going to say they're a pretender. I think, as of right now, I think they're a little bit of a flash in the pan. Like, we've seen this, like, we saw, what was it, the Kings, was it last year or the year before? Even, like, Minnesota last year or Memphis a couple years ago, where you're just like, oh, this young team's getting really good. But, like, they're probably not there yet. I think they should be excited about their future, but I think this year, pretender, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I've also got pretender. As of right now, they would play the Lakers in the first round.
Ah, yeah.
Even the first round, like, I don't know if I'd pick Luka and LeBron. Like,
that'd be tough.
I don't know. That'd be tough for the Rockets. So it might even be a first round exit, low key, even though yeah. they had such a good start to the season. They look great. They're going to have some tough matchups. They play the Lakers in the first round, and then they play the winner of Thunder and whoever they play in the second round. So it's probably a second round exit at most for me.
Yeah. Well, let us know if you think we left anybody off. Obviously, there's some big team names we didn't talk about that we're kind of tired of talking about, so we left them off. But we know there's more that could be contenders, so let us know what you think about our picks. Just some NBA news. We forgot to talk about this before, but I don't know if you saw Greg Popovich won't be back this year.
Yeah, feel like we kind of knew.
Do you think he'll be back ever? That's my kind of question. Oh, is like, no. It makes me kind of sad to think about, but I'm like, if his stroke is that bad, strokes are pretty serious things. Like, they'll develop your entire brain, affect your entire brain. So it'd be interesting to see if he even comes back ever, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, if he did, like, coach his last game this year,
yeah,
that's fine with me.
I think so.
There's nothing else he has left to prove.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if he'd be able to coach this Spurs team till they become like a contender with Wemby.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
it's probably going to take a couple years, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As sad as it is, it's probably okay if this is the last year.
Yeah. I honestly think they're in a good spot too. I think having Chris Paul there is really an underrated thing here. Chris Paul's like, at this point in his career, is kind of like a coach on the floor. Like,
yeah,
he's just, I've seen so many videos of him hyping up the team and giving him pep talks. I think he's a pretty intense guy.
So, yeah, he's going to tell you what you did wrong, yeah, like right away.
And so they have a young coach. So you know, I'm sure he's a good coach, but also you got Chris Paul in there. I think you'll be okay, at least for a little while, I think.
And I think also Harrison Barnes is good at that too. He's a veteran.
Yeah, absolutely.
But totally I hope he gets back, but whatever's best for his health, right?
Yeah.
And then Embiid's also out the rest of the season.
Did see that. That's not really surprising.
I knew this was coming. Yeah. I think he, like in a press conference, was like, he just didn't feel like himself. And that's where I was like, yep, he's going to be done.
Yeah.
And that's why the Sixers are losing 9 in a row.
Yeah. That's probably the last time the Sixers ever let him play during the summer in the Olympics.
Maybe. I'm just kidding, maybe.
Yeah, not really surprising. If I was a Sixers fan, I'd probably take a sigh of relief. Like, this is exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, is he going to play tonight? Is he not going to play? Just lean into Tyrese Maxey. Let him hoop out.
Yeah, we Sixers fans, if you want to talk to us about the tank, we'll mourn with you.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sixers have had enough tanking.
Yeah, they have.
For their franchise, yeah, but and they're there again.
I believe I saw something. Jared McCain was supposed to be back for the last month of the season. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. Paul George is also trying to come back. So who knows? If they're doing bad enough, I could see them just shutting both those guys down. Yeah. Maybe.
Tyrese Maxey's going to average like 40 in the season or something. Yeah. He's just all by himself.
Yeah, right now Philly's sixth best odds. They're 1-9 in their last 10. So
it's not bad.
Maybe you don't want those guys to come back. I don't know. Did you see the Shaden Sharp
dunk?
Yeah,
dude. Holy crap.
That was nuts.
It looked like he was in a trampoline park type dunk.
Yeah, he's got some bunnies. I think dunk of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah?
I think so.
More than Edwards dunk?
They're both
over
up
Holmgren.
There. They're both up there. This one just was like, it seemed like a dunk contest dunk to me. Like his whole body was like to the side. Like he threw that down. Like it was pretty crazy.
Powerful dunk.
Yeah.
He couldn't even land on his feet after.
No. Yeah. That was if I was the other coach, I'd be burning a timeout after that. I got to get the crowd settled down, you know.
Dude, yeah. Shaden Sharp was in a dunk contest a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Where was that?
For real.
I don't remember that when he was in there.
Yeah, for real.
Next time.
I guess so. Well, we're doing another draft spotlight. I think we're going to try to do more of these as we get closer to March Madness, closer to the draft, of course.
Yeah, I think next week, pre-March Madness, next 2 weeks, two or three, we might dive a lot into college basketball, guys.
These guys, yeah, absolutely. But this week, we're going to talk about the 6'10", 245 center from Maryland, Derek Queen.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of watched some highlights before this and did some research on him. Do you have any like initial thoughts about
Well, let me just read his bio that I found.
Yeah, please do.
When you watch him, he looks like he's 7 foot, but he's actually only 6'9". Oh. 246 pounds. So he's kind of like, maybe in the NBA you could see him as like an Evan Mobley, Jaren Jackson type player.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I would argue better on offense than those guys, mm-hmm. at least coming into the NBA. But here's his little bio. Queen is a beefy post player with very high skill level. He's put in a ton of work on his body and is becoming a more mobile player and more fluid athlete. He's got great hands, awesome footwork for the post, and very good touch around the rim. He can overpower defenders in the lane and create space for baby hooks and layups. Very high-level passer for a big man, excels at finding cutters, kicking the ball out, developing his outside shot, plays with high energy and intensity, rebounds the ball well, and does all the dirty work. Isn't the most mobile or twitchy player, but has improved his foot speed and has enough athletic juice for NBA level. Wow. And then I think just watching his highlights, he doesn't even look like he moves like a big man.
Uh-oh.
He looks like he's moving like a guard or even a forward, but this guy can score, and he overpowers people on the block. You can't really stop him in the post. He's got all these like all this footwork, all these great moves, sky hooks, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Dude's a baller, and I think offense and defense, not just one. The only thing, like it said, just his shots developing. But I don't know. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said. I think one thing that impressed me about him is he's big. He looks big, but he's also really lean. He's not like, it's not like a Kenny Lofton situation we're talking about here.
Yeah. Which is good for him.
Yeah, he can move really well. He shuffles his feet really well, especially in the paint. I thought his jump shot looked really nice. I don't think he shoots very efficiently, so that's still an area he's working on. But I think if you've got a nice jump shot, it's something you could develop in the NBA, hopefully.
Yeah.
I would hope so. One criticism I'm seeing on him that I think is fair is his athleticism. A lot of the clips that we've seen have been him laying the ball up in the paint, which is great. He's really good at finishing there. However, I think against NBA centers, when you play the Wembys and the Chets and the even Goberts, like, it's going to be hard for you to finish around the rim like that. You got to slam it on him.
Yeah.
So I'd love to be able to see him finish a little stronger at the rim. I think that's my biggest thing with him. I don't know. As far as fit with the Jazz goes, though, moving to that, I don't know. I think it would be a tough fit. But if he was skilled enough, I think we could make it work. But Kessler is just looking so nice. I'm really excited about his future. I don't know if you could play them together. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, the first year of John Collins and Kessler was bad. Now it looks pretty good.
That's true.
I honestly think, I don't, just like with his shot, I don't think we could put them both out there.
No.
So he'd have to come off the bench. I don't know if he'd be a great fit with the Jazz. It is fun to talk about him. He's probably the best center in this draft.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of people say he's an amazing player. Probably not the best fit with the Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
I would argue, though, that he would be like a guy that could go top five.
That's true.
Because we know the top three guys, Flagg, Harper, and Ace Bailey. He might be like four or five in this draft.
Yeah.
That's just how good this guy is.
I think one mock draft I saw him at 6, one I saw him at 5.
Right. But
there's always like changes closer to the draft. So.
And he's a freshman too, so he's young.
Yeah, March always tells a big story about these guys too. So
that's true.
We'll see what happens with
it. I think Maryland is, if they're like a lower seed upset, pick them.
Absolutely.
That's just me. Don't trust everything I say, but that's your little tip for your bracket.
Yeah.
It also has an NBA comparison for him, and I'd love to hear if you have any ideas of one.
Mm-hmm.
It says Wendell Carter Jr.
Oh, interesting.
I kind of like it, but kind of don't.
Yeah.
Definitely a post player and hustles and intensity, so I could see a lot of similarities between them.
Yeah, when I was watching him, it kind of reminded me a little of Naz Reid. I mean, Naz Reid's a much better shooter, so that's
right.
Not a perfect comparison, but Naz Reid moves his feet really well. He puts the ball on the floor. Naz Reid's a former Jelly Fam guy, so you know.
I like that comparison. It kind of reminds the shot.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me how he finishes and puts the ball on the floor. Just, he's going like tween, like, it's just, so it's kind of kind of excited.
And I'm sure, like, we only watched his highlights, so I don't know if he's doing that, like, every play.
Absolutely.
But in his highlights, no, dude, he's doing everything.
Absolutely.
I like that. I like that.
Well, Utah Hockey Clubs had a pretty good week. 27-24-9. I think we're still in the playoff hunt. Probably getting down to the wire. But the other day I got confused because my notification said, like, it was like 5-1 Utah versus Minnesota. And I was like, I think Timberwolves game's in a couple days. Anyways, but turns out Utah Hockey Club was beating on them. So, good win.
Yeah, it looks like we're two points out of the wild card. I don't know if we've made it to the wild card. We've just been sitting like 1 or 2 points away this whole season.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, we're right there. It looks like the Vancouver Canucks are ahead of us.
Yeah.
So that's the team we need to pass. But we've actually won 3 games in a row again.
Yeah, that's hype.
So I know earlier in the season we won 3 in a row. I don't think we've won... There was one stretch where we won 4 in a row. Let's try and get 4 in a row again. I don't know.
Yeah.
We play the Devils, what is that, tomorrow or Monday?
Yeah.
At home. So maybe we could get our 4th win in a row again, get that streak back up.
Hope so. That would be hype.
Yeah. Have you, as you've been watching the hockey games, have you found your favorite player on the team? Do you have one?
It's got to be Dylan Gunther. I feel like that's really? Like an easy answer, but just like how clutch he is, I just think, I don't know. It's hard to, I wish I knew more about hockey to know, like, there's probably a defensive guy that's just like sneaky good, but Dylan Gunther just jumps off the page as a guy who helped us win a lot of games this year. So,
yeah, if you had to guess, who has the most goals on the team?
Oh man, is it Keller?
So it's actually Dylan Gunther and Keller.
Oh, okay.
They both have 22 goals.
Oh, dang. Okay.
And then Logan Cooley has 17.
Yeah.
And then, like, total points, I think points is like assists and goals combined. Right, yeah. Clayton Keller is clearly the best. He has 69 points.
Oh, wow. Holy cow. That's big jump from 22.
So he has 47 assists, which is clearly the highest on the team.
That's a John Stockton out here. That's crazy.
I know, dude. He should have been on that Olympic team.
I know. Shoot.
I'd say my favorite guy on the team is Mikhail Sergachev.
Yeah.
I just like how much of a beast he is, like, out there. He's like going to throw hands and he's going to like pound guys against the wall when they're trying to score and stuff like that. I don't know. He seems just like a tough guy. I like him.
Yeah, our goalie situation's interesting. I really like Veggie, but it seems like Ingram's been getting a couple more starts. So it's kind of interesting. I don't really know.
I think the fans like Veggie.
I think they do. I like Veggie a lot. I feel like every game I've watched, I'm like, dang, this guy is like stopping everything. But I don't know. It's hard. Hockey's just, we're still learning. So we're trying to figure things out.
That's so much pressure as the goalie, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's honestly the most important position.
Probably like... Of all the sports that have goalies, I think hockey would be the hardest. You know, that little puck you're trying to catch.
Reaction time.
Yeah, like a soccer ball, I don't know. That's probably hard too. I wouldn't want to be a goalie at all in any sport, but that'd be tough.
Yeah, but hopefully they can get some more wins, getting that wild card.
Yeah.
But BYU basketball, man, what a week. I feel like last week we were getting excited last week, and here we are again.
Dude, we're almost getting to a point where we're going to have to do a draft profile about Richie Saunders, because holy crap.
Oh, that's awesome.
I've actually been hearing some NBA realm leagues. I think he'd be a second-round guy, to be honest, but Richie, I think he was like National Player of the Week this week.
No way. Was he really?
He was. Dang, the Oscar Robertson National Player of the Week or something like that. Big 12 Player of the Week.
Dude.
He's hooping right now. BYU Cougs are hooping. I think they still have us as the 8 seed in the tournament. I still feel like that's too low, but this is going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. We play 3 more games, I believe. One being Iowa State. I think we can afford to lose Iowa State at this point. We can beat West Virginia.
I think beating Arizona in Arizona.
Yeah.
Wow.
And beating Kansas the way we did. We're just balling right now.
I will say, do you think that was a foul at the end of the Arizona game? Like, we kind of got bailed out by that, right?
I think we got bailed a little bit.
We did get bailed, but like they got bailed before. Because I think it was Caleb Love. He got fouled the possession before, and I would argue is kind of a similar thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I also think that it's just like Arizona is a better team than us, I will like admit. And if you allow the game to be close, then you open yourself up for ref mistakes to affect your game. That's just like the nature of the game. So
yeah, I think if anything, we showed America that we're scary.
Let's
go. Like, you don't want to play us in the first round because we might shoot like 50 or 60% from three, and you're not going to be able to deal with it.
That's right. And we're getting better defensively.
Right.
Kaba Kata's like coming into his own here. And
dude, one of the best offensive rebounding guys in the country.
Absolutely. We got one of the best 3-point shooters in the country in Trevin Nell.
It's true.
I think our point guard duo, Damon and Hall, is like starting to come together.
It's
like
coming along.
They're moving the ball around. It's just exciting. We're excited.
Yeah. So Utah, if anything, I don't have my hopes too high.
Yeah.
But I think if you're playing BYU in the first round, you should be a little nervous.
Yeah, we've been our BYU fans too long to know to get our hopes too high. We're taming it a little.
Gosh dang it, Duchesne.
That's right.
Yeah, but what a great week. And hopefully we get another win tonight against West Virginia. Should be a win, but
I think so.
We'll see. With March Madness coming up, we're going to be doing a bracket group. So stay tuned on Instagram. Join our bracket group. It's going to be a fun time. But thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. We enjoyed the week. Two wins in a week is always nice. Follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gary for March Madness, and take care.
Peace.